We would like to share a prayer with all of you who risk it all to seek and share truth for the betterment of humanity. This broadcast is brought to you in part by Eternal Affairs Media and DarkDocs.com.
Welcome to Dark Docs Digest episode 20. I don't know, it exploded on my screen just now. That was really interesting. Welcome, Matt. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So my name is Matt Lamb, and I'm the Director of Communications for Students for Life of America, which is the nation's largest pro-life student organization. So we go all across high school and college campuses, setting up pro-life groups and helping pro-life groups grow so we can abolish abortion.
I see. And how long have you been at this?
I've been at Students for Life a little over a year and a half now.
Okay. And what got you into this line of, I don't want to say even work, I guess it's like a calling, a lifestyle, really.
Yeah. That's great. In fact, when I talk, I do a lot of youth ministry, and when I talk about vocations, I always talk about, I have it easy. I get to live out my faith every day. I get to work to abolish abortion and help women, help families. So I was in my pro-life group in college. I went to Loyola University in Chicago, home of the famous Sister Jean. And, then after college, I went to work for another political student group for 2 years, and then this opportunity opened up to work on the communication side, and I decided I'd give it a shot, and obviously I still like it because I'm still here almost 2 years later.
That's great. Have you had a long journey with different kinds of activism, in your adolescence coming up till now, or is this kind of a new thing? Or
sure. Yeah, I'm only about 4 years out of college, but in college, even some in high school, I worked for Chicago Republican Party. I worked for different candidates. I worked for a government watchdog group called Open the Book. I wrote for College Fix and other different conservative websites. And then before this, I was at a group called Turning Point USA. I've always been involved in conservative politics and Christian issues, human rights issues. This is a great opportunity for me to work on an issue that I'm passionate about.
Great. Yeah, it's funny. Like, we come from very different places, but when you have any sort of a conscience and actually you're not entirely apathetic, it almost seems like a lot of us are converging more and more on these common grounds. I mean, my background was, I grew up in Miami, and it's shenanigans down there. And I've always tried to, my deal with, faith and things growing up, or with, let's put it this way. There's a reason why I interview a lot of, SRA victims, that's satanic ritual abuse, or other kinds of occult groups. Survivors and the people that have been trafficked, somehow we all kind of end up working together. It's almost like an energy. You know when someone has been dealing with these kinds of awful, nefarious things. And it's interesting how abortion has kind of always been an element or an aspect of the larger picture as far as corruption in government, religious organizations, political affiliated organizations, humanitarian efforts like the Clinton Foundation and all of their human trafficking. But people don't realize it's more than just human trafficking. It's organ trafficking, and baby organs are top dollar. I mean, you have Hollywood celebrities like Sandra Bullock on the Ellen DeGeneres show bragging about how she uses aborted baby fetus tissue and DNA and her face creams and such, injections even, to get rid of those crow's feet, you know, and they're just all trying to live forever. It's you know, but it all ties together with, like, why more. It's interesting because you have the left, the kind of liberal side of the crowd, that they just want women to have the right to choose. You know, I mean, and sometimes it's a gray area where, and did they get raped? Do they know that there's going to be deformities or even death for either one of them? And, you know, I'd like to kind of tackle some of that on this show, and because that's really what people want to hear from you. You know, they want to, you know, kind of hear what you have to say to those kind of hard questions. So I'll give you the floor.
Those are definitely tough topics. I was actually doing another interview on this earlier today. And so what I would say, I think you were kind of touching on this, you know, really for us, we view abortion as a human rights issue in the same way we view issues like abuse or domestic violence or, you know, sex trafficking, slavery, things like that. And so for us, you know, we actually kind of view this as a uniting issue. The kind of the mainstream political thought would be, you know, abortion is kind of a divisive issue. But for us, I mean, we have leaders all across the country of different backgrounds, Christian, you know, non-Christian, atheist, secular, different political backgrounds, conservative, liberal, independent, libertarian, what have you. And kind of what unites all of our groups is this idea that, like, we have to abolish abortion. So we have pro-life groups at the Ivy Leagues, and then we have pro-life groups at, you know, the SEC schools and the Big Ten schools. We have groups at Cal Berkeley and Harvard. We have groups at, you know, all around the country. And for us, you know, it's how can we abolish abortion? And one of the big things we try to do is help women, help men, help families in those different difficult situations, whether it is they're a victim of rape or whether they're a 19-year-old student and they find out they're pregnant and they suddenly are faced with all these decisions, and on top of just the general, you know, stress that comes with, you know, you're starting school or you're in college and you're doing internships and jobs, and now it's like, oh, I'm pregnant and I never planned for this. So a lot of what we do is how can we help, like, walk alongside, we like to say, people in those situations.
Yeah, great. I mean, I love, that's what I'm loving with a lot of these newer organizations, and really just, it's not even the organizations, I mean, because it's really who's in it at the time, you know? And, I mean, I love to hear that different groups are working together, even though they might disagree on different things. It's because the divide and conquer compartmentalization of our society at the moment, which is being pushed by the mainstream media, by the film industry, by the music industry, and it's nothing new. They want us all in these sub groups where you might agree with 98% of what someone has to say, but there's that 2%. Like, David Icke sounds pretty good 6 out of 7 days, and then he gets onto that reptilian shape-shifting stuff from another dimension, and how that's tied to CERN, and there is some really compelling stuff with all of that. I'd be curious to see, you know, if you've been keeping up on all that CERN stuff, and, you know, black holes creating singularities, you know, can you get demons from other dimensions? I'm a big sci-fi horror, nerd at my core, so it's interesting times that these are the headlines, you know?
Yeah, no, I got C's in chemistry, so I try to stay as far away from that kind of level of science as I can.
Yeah, you know, it's probably safe too. I mean, we ran federaljack.com out of Miami for close to a decade, still running up here in Stanford. Yeah. And, you know, when we were a student organization at FIU, kind of doing a similar thing to you, you know, we'd be setting up tables with, like, you know, at the time we were affiliated with, like, Alex Jones and stuff, and it was, like, kind of more acceptable. We were showing, like, the Obama deception and Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, and, you know, fantastic films, which hold their own now, where like everyone attacks him on his antics, his character on his radio show, and he just goes off the rails, and that's how he goes viral and stuff. It's a trick. But if you actually look at like the documents and the documentaries, all the work that him and like Jason Burmes, Luke Radowski from We Are Change and stuff, and they all have these different angles, and it's funny how they're all at odds now. And it comes back to they try to keep us all apart, you know? Like, just because I know so many people that they are like anti, you know, theists, against organized religion altogether, you know, atheist or just agnostic, or, you know, they just, you know, they think it's arrogant to assume anything, or open-minded, or I know a bunch of Muslims, and but like we all agree on like the fundamental thing. We're all human beings, regardless of where we come from. And the thought of killing a baby, to most people in polite society, at least what they would admit in, you know, vocally or try to act on and stuff, they would be like, oh, appalled, it's terrible. But people are doing it. People are doing it every day, and doing even more than that when you get into like the really dark, webby, occult, you know, Pizzagate kind of stuff, which, of course, NPR and all the mainstream media is like, oh, discrediting fake news. New York Post, you know, doing little op-eds with John Podesta recently, and even James Alefantis of Besta Pizza and Comet Ping Pong, all those pizza places that have all these Clinton Foundation shindigs and stuff. While we're on that subject, actually, I have two clips, and I'm curious to know what you think about them. The first one is recently a heckler went to a Bill and Hillary Clinton speech thing, and he was you know, going on about Jeffrey Epstein and the Lolita Express. It's a minute and 50 seconds, so here it is.
Bill, this is boring. Why don't you talk about Jeffrey Epstein? I want to know about you and Jeffrey Epstein. Talk about... No, you... Jeffrey Epstein, flying on the Lolita Express. You know it, Bill. I'll leave. That's cool, man. That's cool.
So that was an interesting... The term agent provocateur really caught my ear, especially from the 9/11 era, when anyone was trying to bring hard questions about things that they couldn't really answer. And then you have experts dealing with stuff like that, where now this is like nothing that even needs like, you know, a physicist to vouch for, or a structural engineer or control demolitions expert. This is like there are flight manifests on FAA.gov that show Bill going on this Lolita Express dozens and dozens of times, and he has been known, and there are photographs and even videos of children, you know, in chains, and there's audio, weird porn stuff.
I don't really follow that stuff too closely, so unfortunately, I don't think I'd be able to talk much about that. I'm happy to talk about what we're doing on campus, but, I don't really follow that stuff too much.
Yeah, no worries. I know it's a very uncomfortable thing, and these are just some of the things that happened this week. We deal with a lot of current events and stuff, so I was curious if you had any other opinions on any of those things. What are you working on now with the organization? What's like the big thing you're pushing right now?
Yeah. So one thing definitely, as we kind of get into the 2020 election, that we're trying to do is really keep an eye on what a lot of politicians are talking about. I'm sure you've seen these videos of, like, you know, Bernie Sanders just yesterday on Fox News kind of dodging on the issue of infanticide. He got hammered pretty hard on the question of paying for Medicare for All and all that. But Beto O'Rourke out here, I'm in Virginia, so Ralph Northam is my governor. Yikes.
Yeah, you don't like Beto, huh?
I don't like Beto.
Yeah, I'm asking.
Robert Francis O'Rourke. No, I don't think he's. I don't think he's the one. So yeah, I mean, tracking a lot of that. What we're doing on campus a lot is talking about. A lot of people don't know, and this kind of getting, I guess, to that topic of like, what is the media not telling you that, you know, for us, you know, Planned Parenthood facilities, we know they target people in high school and college, and most people don't know, for example, that there's been like something like 70 ambulances that have left this one St. Louis Planned Parenthood facility, I think in the past like 6 to 10 years, and, you know, they actually, Planned Parenthood actually tried to cite a law that would have required that when ambulances leave their facility, that they put on their sirens. So Planned Parenthood actually wanted to make it less safe for women to leave because, as you can imagine, if ambulances don't have sirens on, they can't cut through traffic. And so we're on campus talking about what's interesting is, like, we have these displays. You can go to PlannedParenthoodTruth.org and see all of the sources. We don't use any conservative sources, any right-leaning sources, any pro-life sources. This is all mainstream news sources and, like, public health records where we say, like, this is what they found in these facilities. If you've ever seen, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen the Gosnell movie. He wasn't a Planned Parenthood abortionist, but a lot of what they show in his abortion facility goes on in Planned Parenthood facilities. And so it's crazy because, like, maybe even someone comes up and they're like, oh, I'm pro-choice. And we're like, okay, well, can you agree, like, that this is disgusting, that there's, like, they find, like, black mold on, like, piping or on, like, tubing, or they're reusing, like, single-use syringes. And so, I mean, this is the same thing of, like, finding out the truth. It's like, we didn't make this up. This is, like, the state of Missouri's public health department did these inspections. This is not Fox News. This is not Breitbart. This is, like, a public health inspector telling you, like,
what blows my mind about it is they continue to get so much funding from federal programs as well as, marketing directly to American citizens and internationally, as far as I know. They got PayPal donation things. They got, pissed me off, I grew up being a punk rocker in the music scene and bands and stuff, and I love that band NOFX, but like I always found certain things about them problematic, and it wasn't really like that they weren't PC or anything like that. I find that stuff actually very funny. They're very clever with some of that stuff, but it was more about just like I found it odd that they would like host these punk rock bowling events in Las Vegas, and it'd be this big deal with all these huge bands and this and that, a bunch of VIP ticket packages and da da da. And like 30% of the proceeds were going to Planned Parenthood, and I'm like, and it's just it's a weird thing with more liberal like left wing outfits where they are totally fine supporting Planned Parenthood. Where if you look into their history, Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist, racist cunt. I mean, she was like the most disgusting Bond villain level. I mean, just grotesque, the quotes that she would like talk about people with brown and black skin like they were some kind of subhumans and that they were disposable, and she was all part of that American eugenics movement, two generations of unfit is enough. So if you have like a brother that's in jail on some trumped up charge for some bullshit because you're a minority, they might legally be able to detain you and tie your legs down and make sure you can't have kids anymore. And like, these are the founders of Planned Parenthood, and they're very transparent about it. They have had several articles that we've covered over the years where they're kind of apologists and like, we don't really support everything crazy old Margaret Sanger, the founder, believed in. We are now far more progressive and LGBTQ friendly and yada yada.
Yeah.
And it's just rebranding a fucking Nazi operation is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, people have complex histories, countries have complex histories, but it's sort of like,
it's one thing if you're like, I did this wrong and here's how I've changed, but it's sort of like, we did this wrong thing, but we still do.
I'm sorry, I'm losing you. You on the cell phone?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on, let me step outside for a second.
Okay.
Is this a little better?
Yes, much better.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, we actually did some research, and again, this is original source. We like read what she wrote. We read her speeches. You
nice.
Know, it's a pretty primary source document.
You got any
of, like,
handy quotes? I love those things.
What did you say?
You got any good handy quotes at the moment? I can't think of any. You know, just like.
Well, I know. Well, I don't have any off the top of my head, but one thing I know she did is she opposed like installing like clean water systems and sewer. Basically, she opposed like basic infrastructure because like her thought was like if we make it easier for poor people to live, they'll have more kids. Is like so she basically like she said like oh we shouldn't like install clean drinking water in like these you know apartment housings or we shouldn't like have sewage systems because like then they'll just be happy and then they'll like continue to reproduce and things like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And even still, like, I remember watching this movie a couple years ago. And basically, they said, like, Planned Parenthood purposely locates their facilities, like, on streets called, like, Martin Luther King Drive. Because that way, like, there's this positive branding of, like, you associate them with, like, a civil rights leader.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. It's all just, I mean, I find it disgusting where you take something that people really just it pulls on their heartstrings and you know things like the you know civil rights movement and the suffrage movement and it's like and they just really emotionally abuse these children and adults into thinking that if you are, like don't support this place that you automatically hate women, you want them back in the kitchen without a right to vote, you know, barefoot and pregnant, and it's so effective. They use, you know, Operation Mockingbird tactics. It's repeating these talking points over and over again, and that's what people talk about at the water cooler.
There was actually a story, and I don't think this is a Planned Parenthood, but it was another abortion facility, where there was a guy who took he had basically kidnapped this girl for like 10 years or something, and he took her in for like 5 to 7 abortions, and they never reported it. So you have like a 15-year-old girl coming in with a 50-year-old guy, and no one in the facility is like, maybe she's being abused. Like, she keeps coming in for abortions with this 50-year-old guy that's not related to her. Like, maybe we should pick up the phone and call the police. And so this whole, like, we support women, but, like, we're not going to actually, like, intervene when this girl's getting, you know, raped. It's very hypocritical and criminal, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. It's like they're idealists. There's I'd say 98% of the people that we have to change their minds about a lot of these ideas. I mean, they're just idealists and they want it all. But like when you actually get into the brass tacks and the nitty gritty, of such things, it's like, what are we talking about here? And that's like, I don't want to see that video. I don't want to. It's kind of like the, you know, the people that are like, I love meat, but like, I don't want to see pictures or videos of animals being slaughtered. It's like you have to own your actions. You have to own what you do. I mean, I eat meat. My fiance, she's vegan, and you know, I can kind of, you know, swing back and forth on my meal habits. In that regard, but it's like I can slaughter an animal and be like, yeah, I did it. You know, this I'm going to use every part of it. You know, it's you know I'm going to have a pelt. I'm going to rearticulate the bones. You know, it's like I have some bone broth. It's like you have to own what you do. Is it a grisly act? Yes, but you know, it's like you have to be able to defend it, and that's the reason why I feel that a lot of them are fake and very flimsy about it. Is that they say that they support this and this and this, but they can't actually like deal with the reality of what's really going on. It's like a
We've actually gone on campuses. My boss has to like Harvard and places like that with like a fetal model and like abortion tools, and we're like, and so this isn't like graphic, it's just a, you know, you just buy like a doll, right? And we show them like, this is what happens during abortion. Like, they stick this in and they suck the brains out, or they use these clamps, and like people are horrified. They're like, that's what goes on. It's sort of like, it's kind of like you're saying, as long as it's just like the steak shows up on my plate, I don't have to think about it, it's fine. It's the same way with like I just want to view it as a woman's choice and not think about it. I don't want to think about how does it, like, how do you take something that's living and breathing and it's natural? We always say, like, when a baby is in its mother's womb, that's exactly where it's supposed to be. Like, that is where, from the moment of conception, that is where a baby is supposed to be for 9 months. Like, it is in its natural home. And then, like, how do we end that very natural process? Like, okay, they take the curate, or they take the, you know, the suction tube, or, you know, depending on the process. We always say, too, like, we started saying, like, heart attack abortions to make it very real, because that is actually how they do some late-term abortions, is they basically inject, like, potassium chloride into a baby's heart to cause a heart attack. And it's like, yeah, we, like that's awful, but, like, people don't want to hear that this is actually what goes on.
Right, right. I mean, and until everyone understands exactly everything involved, I mean, I believe that the United States is a federal republic still. We still have the Electoral College and this and that. Yet I'm not a Republican. I'm more of a libertarian, independent kind of. I'm really just, I'm about to, you know, break this computer in half and move out into the woods. I mean, honestly, but you know, if you got to, but the funny thing is that they're like, oh, it's a democracy, this and that. It's like, you shouldn't be able to really vote, you know, one person, one vote on all these things that affect all of us if you don't even know what you're talking about, you know, especially when it's a literal life and death issue. And the level of ignorance and just like, ah, that's not how they do it. And then they can just do. But what do you think about the plan B, like, you know, like, condom slipped, holy shit, run to the pharmacy, get the plan B pill, like, within 24 hours. Where do you stand on, like, that kind of time frame abortion?
Yeah.
Some could argue.
So, yeah, so for us, because we know that plan B can act by preventing implantation, for us, plan B can be an abortifacient. I mean, so that's our main issue with it. And, you know, and this is sort of goes back to the language thing is, you know, it's like, oh, pregnancy starts after implantation. Well, no, like, for us, life begins at conception. It's not a week or two later when it's implanted. It's actually when it's conceived. And so that's issue one. Issue two is also, like, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls taking this, which is basically a high dose of hormone. Plan B is basically just, like, a high dose of your normal birth control pills. Taking these, like, extra hormones, again, just going back to the meat analogy that you brought up of, like, people want hormone-free meat, but then they want to put extra hormones in their body. kind of a, like, cognitive dissonance, right? Like, hormone-free, but, like, oh, let me put a bunch of, like, extra estrogen in my body, extra hormones, et cetera. That's why we can't support Plan B.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, it kind of reminds me, it's a very similar thing to how do you feel... I mean, I guess I'm setting you. I kind of know the answer. I could imagine for, like, you know, people doing, like, hormone therapies because they felt like they're this or that. You know, like the transgender hormone therapy stuff. And I mean, particularly, I think we can all agree that it's child abuse to do it to a minor because, again, they can't consent. You know, it's the same thing with pedophilia. Can't consent, so any sexual or anything involving adult acts onto a person, you know,
right.
I mean, of course. I mean, of course, you guys are against, you know, this kind of gender reassignment.
Well, we're only focused on the abortion issue, so we don't really focus on that issue. What I'll say, just for me personally, my personal point of view, because Students for Life is just focused on abortion. Me personally, I mean, I definitely think, yes, the idea of, like, 6- and 7-year-olds pumping them full of hormones is not a good idea. I mean, maybe you get into, you're a 40-year-old, you've thought about this, you've gone to counseling, maybe that's a bit different, but I definitely think this idea of, like, 9-year-olds, let's put a bunch of hormones in them, just from a chemical standpoint, a psychological standpoint, doesn't seem to me like it'd be very healthy.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting and kind of it's amazing to be alive right now because these are the things that if you told someone in the 80s, like, this is what the future is going to be, like, they wouldn't believe. It's amazing what's going on right now.
Yeah, and the big issue too, I mean, just kind of a broader point of, like, they're like, if you debate at all, like, you can be, I think there was, like, a guy at Johns Hopkins, there's some Johns Hopkins like a Johns Hopkins surgeon. I mean, you know, the top of the top, who said something like, "Here's the deal, like on these issues, like transgender issues, like you really need to be careful." I mean, he wasn't even saying, "I don't believe in transgenderism." He wasn't even saying, "I would never do a surgery." He said something like, "I just think we need to be cautious in how we approach this and really think these things through." Like the most vague, like, "Hey,
right.
Let's just take a deep breath," type thing.
Say, you know, it's like, I have a lot of LGBTQ, you know, transgender people that they're supporters of our band and the movement and Dark Docs, and it's fantastic. And it's, you know, we have people all over the spectrum. So I'm like, you know, if you're a supporter, I'm a libertarian at the end of the day. It's like, if whatever you're doing, you're not hurting anyone else,
sure.
You should have the right to do it. And I have very hard stances on what that constitutes. And, I mean, of course, so do you, because, I mean, abortion is like, well, you're creating a new person to make a victim of something, you know, whether
right.
it be murder
yeah,
or poisoning or, you know, all these things.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, it's just crazy that, like, just on so many issues, you can't even just say, like, hey, maybe we just, you know, I mean, this is what, like, science and medicine is supposed to be about. Like, hey, what are the, in politics and ethics, right? Like, what are the issues
yeah.
we're not thinking about? Like, hey, maybe, like, an 11-year-old, we shouldn't, like, you know, have them do a surgery, like, right away. Like, oh, no, oh, whoa,
yeah.
well, you're interfering with, like, well, no, we're just trying to look out and listening to counselors and psychologists and surgeons, and, like, you can't even, like, take in just listening to other information, other viewpoints is now
yeah.
kind of trying to be, like, silenced.
Ooh, I got a big one for you. What do you feel about circumcision and people who are intactivists that believe that God made you that way, so it's arrogant for all of you people to cut your skin like a lot of these other religions and pagan religions have done in the past for very nefarious reasons historically. What are your guys' views on that, or do you have any? Do you stay away from that one too? Or?
Yeah, we don't really have views on that, and me personally, it's not really something I could say I've thought about too much. I wouldn't probably be able to give very good insight. But I always enjoy hearing about all these different movements, all these different issues of, like, things like that aren't very mainstream. You don't hear about it like you hear about gun debates and immigration debates. So lately,
really?
I've been getting into a lot of, like, Joe Rogan and Dave Rubin and things like that. So I'm always interested in just learning about these other debates that are going on issues I never really thought about.
Yeah, I love that. And, yeah, I've been listening to Joe for years. And, of course, Alex Jones. And the past couple years, we've really gotten into Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak's No Agenda show. Are you familiar with it?
I'll have to look them up. But.
Yeah. Yeah, noagendashow.com. We actually archive their stuff on darkdocs.com, we barely met. It's funny, we met on the air. So, yes, I'm Christian Coffins. I run darkdocs.com. That's DOX.com. And pretty much what that is imagine if WikiLeaks and Netflix had a child. So it's a free, anonymous, online library of video, audio files, PDF documents, and it looks like Netflix, where you just go there and there's just thumbnails, a brief description, you click on it, and it takes you straight to the file. You save as from any device, and again, you don't have to sign up, you don't have to, nothing. So, you know, if you have any, you know, documents, you know, it could be like stuff related to abortion, for example, or Planned Parenthood doing sketchy stuff, or any documentaries, you could send me a link, you know, info@darkdocs.com, and we'll you know, check it out, and then we'll back up the copy from the link you send us. We can download from YouTube and various places, Facebook sometimes. And yeah, we upload it to a server, and it's all Creative Commons. So anything that's copywritten, of course, we can't use, or we can use clips kind of if it's like within the construct of like a podcast or another video about other things, like what we're doing right now, where I'm playing clips and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, so we'd love to hear some more stuff from you, definitely on that.
Yeah,
we've got about 8 minutes left. Anything else you want to say?
I was going to say, I actually just graduated from copyright school because YouTube copyright struck one of our videos. So,
yeah.
So I know I'm an official graduate. No, I'm just, if anyone's interested, check us out. studentsforlife.org. The other website that I talked about was PlannedParenthoodTruth.org, which is a website we have. It's a really great resource. It kind of sounds like something similar to yours in the sense of we put all of our sources about Planned Parenthood facilities on that website. So if you're going out and you're arguing with someone about abortion or you're doing sidewalk counseling, you can print off those resources and show them like the actual reports from like the city or county or state health department. I'm just really great in a debate to use those. But yeah, thanks again for having me. Just check on social media and I'll come back on again sometime.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. I actually did find a fun site. Pro-Life365 has a whole Margaret Singer quotes page. Here's one of them. As an advocate for birth control, I wish to point out the unbalance between the birth rate of the unfit and the fit. Admittedly, the greatest present menace to civilization can be rectified by the inauguration of a cradle competition between these two classes. In this matter, the example of the inferior classes, the fertility of the feeble-minded, the mentally defective, the poverty-stricken classes should not be held for emulation. I'm telling you, she sounds like a Bond villain. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one more clip to write us out to the end. I would like to, of course, thank Eternal Affairs Media for making these things possible. And all of you out there that are listening to these kind of broadcasts and you feel that you get some sort of value from them, please consider making a donation for whatever you can deal with. And those donations actually, since we don't have any other advertisers, allow us to do these things and make sure our computers are still working and they're on their last leg. So please consider supporting us. Thank you for coming on, Matt Lamb, and I bid you adieu. This is Dark Docs.
Over here, and we are following this breaking news out of Washington. Some serious allegations this morning facing the State Department.
That's right. According to internal State Department memos, the agency might have called off or intervened in investigation into possibly illegal and inappropriate behavior within its ranks, allegedly to protect jobs and avoid scandals. This concerns the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. We want to get right to NBC's Chief White House Correspondent Chuck Todd with the latest. Chuck, good morning to you.
Good morning, Savannah. You know, there's an old saying in Washington that the cover-up is worse than the crime. But in this case, both parts of it are disturbing. Allegations of prostitution and pedophilia and allegations that those crimes were somehow covered up or not looked into. So the State Department this morning is having to respond to those claims and those investigations of misconduct by State Department officials, including by an ambassador and security agents attached to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And the allegations are that these investigations were whitewashed, quashed altogether, and that those orders came from high up.
NBC News has obtained documents related to ongoing investigations into some disturbing allegations involving State Department personnel and at least one ambassador. A State Department memo says the ambassador, quote, routinely ditched his protective security detail in order to solicit sexual favors from both prostitutes and minor children. The memo also says a top State Department official directed department investigators to, quote, cease the investigation into the ambassador's conduct. It's just one of what another document describes as, quote, several examples of undue influence from top state officials. On Monday, a State Department spokesperson not confirm specific investigations.
I'm not going to talk about specific cases, but I can say broadly that the notion that we would not vigorously pursue criminal misconduct in any case, is preposterous.
A former investigator for the department's inspector general has complained to Congress and the media that the investigations have not been thorough because of the pressure from those high-level officials.
We take every allegation of misconduct seriously and we look into it.
It was less than 6 months ago that another major internal investigation painted Hillary Clinton's State Department in a negative light. That scathing report on the failed diplomatic security procedures in the aftermath of the Benghazi attack.
What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can.
As we noted, the whistleblower in this case, a member of the Inspector General investigative team at the State Department, she's gone to Congress demanding an investigation, and it's our understanding Congressman Ed Royce, the leading Republican in House Foreign Relations, says he does plan on having an investigation, and no doubt hearings are probably going to come soon as well, Savannah.
But Chuck, where are we on this? Is at this point just allegations from one whistleblower? Have they been substantiated in any way?
Well, here's what it is. The whistleblower says that this report, that the internal investigation having to do with how diplomatic security even investigated these allegations, that's where this scathing report came from. It's how the investigators somehow dropped the investigations, including into this ambassador and onto some other deal, including on folks that were part of security detail. So the allegations themselves haven't been fully substantiated by us, but this Inspector General whistleblower believes that the evidence was clear, but the problem was the investigation wasn't done in time to find out for sure if this misconduct was happening.
More to come on this for sure. Chuck Todd, thank you very much.
If you find value in these broadcasts, please invest in your education and sanity at Eternal Affairs Media and DarkDocs.com.
We hope the information you received was beneficial to your quest for truth and justice. Please visit us online at DarkDocs.com to download shows, movies, other podcasts, PDF documents, music, and much more for free. No advertisements, no sign-ups, no terms of use, no censorship, no control. This is information warfare. This is the end of the transmission.